And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter there with you on this Tuesday morning, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. How's everybody doing? Joseph, what's going on, my man?
I'm doing okay. I don't know that I'm doing as well as you are. You seem really spry and sprightly today.
I went to bed at like 9 o'clock last night. There's a lot of energy flowing through these veins today. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a heck of a show here today.
Well, good. You can carry me.
I'm going to try to carry us all here with some energy this morning. It's going to be a great show here today. We've got a lot to react to with the NHL trading deadline and the Nashville Predators. Dan Rosen will join us at 7:45 from NHL.com to look at the trade deadline around the league and get to some Nashville Predators topics as well. Chris Mason at 8:30, Preds TV analyst, drops by. Our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 9 o'clock on all things NFL. So a lot still to come here today on the show. And we'll take your thoughts, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Well, Joe, let's get right into it, because we've been talking about this day and this series of events for about a month and a half when it comes to the Nashville Predators, and that is the trade deadline. And we talked about it yesterday. I was really interested to see what the Predators were going to do. We had the poll question up. Would fans rather see the Predators stand pat? Would they rather see the Predators sell? Or would they rather see the Predators buy? I think at last count, 13% say that they would rather see the Predators buy. And I guess technically, that's what they did yesterday. The Predators did buy yesterday. They go out and get defenseman Erik Gudbrandsson for a 7th-round pick in 2023. So the compensation that you're giving up there essentially amounts to nothing, basically. But technically, the Predators did buy yesterday. Joe Rex Road, your reaction?
Yeah, well, you trolls, you 13% got your way. There is some, in all seriousness, and I tweeted this, I owe an apology to the people, and maybe you do too, because I think we were in agreement. And on some of the David Poile comments on Darren Dunick and Chase, which to me was, and I think to us, was sort of, okay, it's a GM kind of brushing it off and saying, yeah. But actually, if you go back to him, he was pretty much telling people, like, there's no way he's selling anybody, right? Yeah. I mean, it's basically what happened here. So, yeah, being technically a buyer, let's get into him real quick. Say his name again.
David Poile?
No, Gudbrandsson.
Oh, Erik Gudbrandsson. It's like David Poile?
David Poole?
Yes.
Didn't we call him David Porth or something recently?
Probably did. Yes.
Okay, so as soon as that trade happens, Vingan tweets out, do you follow this Micah Blake McCurdy?
Yeah. Ineffective math?
At ineffective math. Yeah. So immediately Vingan tweets out this, I love these bubble charts, with the blobs.
It's like a different language.
Which apparently says that he's like the worst player in the history of hockey, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, okay, so this guy's terrible? I don't know. He's been with 5 teams. And according to Micah Blake McCurdy, quote, so this is his tweet. Erik Gudbrandsson to Nashville, inexplicably, is an extremely poor defender.
Yeah. Okay.
So I see that on Twitter. And then I'm, of course, because I go to Twitter for all my news and views.
You're a big Twitter guy.
Yeah, big Twitter guy. Will not get on Instagram. And I see Hal Gill tweets, and Hal Gill says, great pickup. I want to get the exact quote from Hal Gill. But basically, he's like, This is a great pickup. So I'm like, okay. So I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think anymore. But like you said, I mean, it's technically a buy. It's basically just another body at the bottom of the defensive depth chart. Obviously, they've had injuries everywhere.
They have,
but it does. And David Poile, per his, I mean, I took away many things from David Poile's presser yesterday. Many things.
Yes.
But one thing I took away was, like, I think he kind of looks like if you can say you bought, like, you feel good,
yeah,
right? Like, that's in itself is a sign of success.
Right, and I that was one of the takeaways I had yesterday as well. And what we won't know is what were the phone calls like for David Poile leading up to this. what were the prices that were being offered. I mean, David Poile, and we got, like you said, we've got a lot to talk about today with David Poile and some of his words yesterday at the press conference. But he did say, I mean, he was answering phones and he was talking, and I think he used the word, it's free to talk. So it's not like he was just sitting there and not talking to people on the phone. Said he talked to all 31 teams multiple times when it comes to leading up to the trade deadline and the decisions made yesterday by the Predators. But it didn't really seem like there was much wiggle room for David Poile heading into yesterday about selling. And I do wonder, you know, in the last few weeks before this run happened, what were the prices like? What were the offers like? And at what point did David Poile decide in his mind, this is not the route I'm going. I believe in this group, and we're going to keep it together. It's interesting.
Yeah, and I know we'll have a lot of Poile sound later, but I tried to ask sort of that question, you know, like at what point, and there was no specific timeline, but I don't think it was I don't think he woke up yesterday saying, let's get somebody dealt away here. Yeah. You know, he was resolved during this stretch of success to not do it. So, frankly, I'm surprised by that. Also, I might even like if I were advising David Poile, I appreciate David Poyle's honesty. I might tell him to lie.
lie.
Just lie to the media. People love lying to the media.
Yes.
You know, because to me, it's like the price tag was a big question going into yesterday. Yep. Or just going into the whole process.
Sure.
And it sounds like that was somewhat irrelevant.
Yeah.
Not that there wasn't any deal that was so good that he wouldn't have changed his mind, but it sounded at least like the bar was real high.
Sounds that way for sure. Ryan Porth, your reaction to the Predators, I guess technically being a buyer yesterday, but I guess more realistically, basically standing pat. What is your reaction to this deadline for the Nashville Predators?
Well, y'all laughed at me when I brought this up as a possibility in the last week or so that they would make a Jan Halavich type move.
I don't even know if I'd consider this
that. Well, yes. I mean, Jan Halavich was acquired for a 7th-round pick. He even gave up more than a 7th-round pick.
He was.
For Gabranson.
That's true.
Joe, you mentioned how Gabranson is another body on the blue line. That's probably a good way to put it. He'll be playing defense for the Nashville Predators.
Maybe.
If you want a comparison to Jared Tenorti, he's probably a little worse than Jared Tenorti in my mind.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
All the Penguins beat writers yesterday were laughing at Gabranson and this trade. But it wasn't surprising, and there is a scenario within this entire picture where this turns out to be the right move for David Poile. I just don't feel like that is a high percentage, that what he did or didn't do yesterday was the right move. But we've seen crazier things happen in this sport.
We have, and we're going to begin to find out our answer tonight. The Predators taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've got 7 games coming up of their final 13 against those top 3 in Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Florida. So the Blackhawks won last night. They're 2 points behind the Predators right now. So this is going to be a race for the playoffs. And if they don't make it, or if they get put out in the first round, there are going to be some Predators fans that are not very happy at all with what happened yesterday, or more specifically, what did not happen yesterday with some of the decisions to hold on to some expiring contracts. So that's the position that you put yourself in if you're the Nashville Predators. Now, as Sports said, if it works out and you're able to put together a run here and be dangerous, you look pretty smart if you're David Poile and the Predators. But this is going to be fascinating to see how this finishes. It's going to require a level of play from the Predators against these top 3 teams that we, quite frankly, have not seen yet. So can they get to that level?
Chase and I did Preds Insiders last night in the 6 o'clock hour, so like 12 hours ago. And we got a text into the text line about at some point you have to buy. You have to go all in. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, they have done that for each of the last 6 years now.
We are well past that point.
Like at some point, it needs to be the opposite, and you have to recoup some of the assets that you gave up. They didn't do that. So, I mean, a 2nd and a 4th round pick, if that's what it would have been for Granlund and Halla, no guarantees. But there's certainly no guarantee that they're going to make the playoffs.
A lot of guys on this team were draft picks. that they picked.
Yeah.
Second round picks, lower than that, worked out pretty well. It's nice to have those picks. You know, you said if they go on a run, Robbie, they look pretty smart. But what if they go on a run, make the playoffs, and then lose in five?
That's not, I don't know if that's a run.
Okay, so you're when you say run, you're saying get to the playoffs and do some damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, just on Good Branson, because I found this just funny because I'm like, okay, Vingan, worst player ever, all the stuff you just said, everybody's laughing about it. So here's Willie Donick, Gabranson, 6'5", 222, third on Ottawa in hits with 92, third in shorthanded time on ice, 29 years old, 554 games of experience, could challenge, potentially upgrade third D pair role with Tenorti and then Harper, that Tenorti and Harper have played, except he's a right-hand shot. And then Hal said, great get for the Preds. Who do I believe?
I don't think it's a very good get.
Okay.
So we're
going the Michael Blake McCurdy route. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like he's the eighth or ninth.
Five teams in 3 years. That should probably tell you.
Maybe he's just too good to be kept. To be kept.
When that blue line is healthy, I kind of feel like he's the eighth or ninth guy on the depth chart.
That's the thing. I'm not sure how much he's going to play for the Predators.
It really doesn't. It really shouldn't count as buying. It will. Right. It goes down in the books as you bought on trade deadline day. But, I mean, you know.
And Poile said yesterday that he bought.
Yeah, small buy.
Well, again, no, I know. I mean, Poile, this is where the context of the entire history of the franchise is important, because you guys will remember, and I mean, I know you guys were like in third grade or whatever, but many, many years, Poile probably could do nothing but sell, right? Like, that's what you were doing. You were selling. You were trying to get into a competitive realm.
Yeah.
So now, just being a buyer is just exciting on its own.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Apparently so. Let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Preds fans, do you agree with David Poile's approach to not be a seller and be a small buyer before Monday's trade deadline? Yes or no? We are very early in the voting process, Joe. 71% say yes, 29% say no. What do we think of that?
It's early.
Look, the early returns as of late, it's not changed all that much as the show has gone along.
Yeah, well, look, hey, see, the thing is, I think some people can't separate, be excited about what's going on with this team.
Sure.
And the idea of you can still do that and still, try to have a big picture approach.
Right.
You can say, I wanted him to sell something and recoup some assets, as Porth just put it, and I still am very excited about this team and where it's going, and it could make the playoffs. Now, I will say this on the Granlin thing. Poile just told us that, this week nobody's coming back. So,
yeah.
So, if the playoffs is very important to make, I can see how you would say, well, you get rid of Granlin right now. I mean, is it even worth playing these games?
Well, there's nine guys out right now.
No, that's true.
For a while.
Do you feel like there's a case to be made that Granlund is more important to getting to the playoffs than he is actually in the playoffs? Do you understand what I'm saying there? The question has been, well, is Granlund going to make a difference in the playoffs? Well, they have to get there first.
Right.
And the point you just made, Joe.
Well, especially now.
Right.
Yeah.
The point that you just made of how they're not going to get anybody back until next week. If you take Granlund Hala out of the lineup, you're replacing them with Chicago players.
Yeah.
AHL.
Yeah. So, right, in the short term, I still, to me, I think you look big picture, and if you get a really good offer, then I think you take it. But it didn't happen.
It did not happen. We are off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got a lot to get to with the Nashville Predators and the trade deadline yesterday. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, there didn't appear to be a whole lot of interest whatsoever in David Poile going the selling route yesterday. Is that going to come back to bite the Nashville Predators as they move forward here? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to the trade deadline yesterday for the Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berryhill texts in, Do you guys think John Hines had anything to do with not selling? Could he have gone to Poyle and asked him to keep the team together to give him a chance to prove that they can do it? Now, Joe, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Somebody texted in a similar question and asked, okay, if you're Roman Josi or if you're John Hines, do you sit down with Poyle and say, hey, 112 out of 15, give us a shot, see what we've got going here? I think you know what Roman Josi would say. I mean, he's going to want a shot. He's going to want to take a shot with this group. You would expect that out of any player, out of any leader, and I'm sure Roman Josi feels that way. John Hines was the more interesting one to me, but I did say yesterday, like, if I'm John Hines, the way I'm approaching this is probably, hey, I've been preaching this the whole time. Like, I've been trying to get these guys to buy in. I've not changed anything about the system, but now we've got some players that have come in, and the buy-in's been there, and this is what it looks like when you play my system the way I want you to play it, and that you're playing the way you need to play from an effort perspective every night, and now you've won 12 out of 15. Do we think that's any factor at all in David Poyle's decision not to sell yesterday at the trade deadline?
Ryan Porath?
Well, I do think it's a very interesting thought about whether or not they went to Poyle and said, give us a chance, because David Poyle has listened to that before and gone with that before after the 2018 season when they got bounced in the second round to Winnipeg. I think an interesting branch off of that question is, did David Poyle want to do right by John Hines and give him a chance to prove himself as a coach? Because there have been a lot of things in the last 15 months that have gone the opposite way of John Hines being able to do what he needs to do as a coach with the pandemic, the fact that he came into an awful situation when Peter Laviolette got fired, the injuries that happened earlier in the season when they really didn't have much of a training camp, the coaches were new, you know, his assistants were new, I should say, and he's now finally getting this team to buy in. And would David Poyle have thought that he was pulling the rug out from under John Hines if he went out and traded Mikael Granlund, who's been very successful? He's been the best forward, one of the best forwards under John Hines. Eric Halla is starting to come into his own compared to his first couple months in a Preds uniform. I do wonder if Poyle wanted to give Hines a fair shot at proving himself as a coach instead of continuing to have things go against Hines as head coach.
See, to me, if anyone came to him, you know, that had an impact here, I would think more the other side, management, or you know, like ownership.
Yeah.
I mean, just because it is important to make the playoffs, but, I mean, he knows that too. So, I mean, I think you make a good point, and that may be true. I mean, I think a lot of what's happened in the last few weeks speaks better of Hines, and I think it speaks better of Poyle too in terms of some of his selections and some of these young guys in the system who have come up here and looked like players and like guys who may be part of the future. I just don't know that the last 15 games completely changes everything, and it kind of sounded like it did for Poyle yesterday.
Well, it did, and that was one of the interesting takeaways from David Poyle's press conference yesterday. Was there didn't appear to be a whole lot of interest in going the route of selling. You asked David Poyle about that, about his approach to the trade deadline, and how much consideration he gave to maybe going the route of selling when it comes to the trade deadline. Here's what David Poyle had to say yesterday at his press conference.
David, were you still open to the possibility of being a seller as late as today, you know, just based on a possible offer you'd have gotten? And if not, at what point were you not open to that anymore?
In my heart, I was not open to it because of how I believed in this team and wanted to give them a chance. But as a manager, I was taking calls and I was listening because I think that's free. And, why wouldn't I? But I had pretty well made up my mind a little while ago based on how things were going that it would have to be something that would be really different than anything that I had heard of or had been brought up to me that would make me want to change where we are right now.
So that was David Poyle yesterday at his press conference talking about, you know, in his heart, he didn't believe that he was going to be selling yesterday. Now, he did mention there in those comments that, you know, he was open and listening to other teams and, you know, listening is free. But based on, you know, something, it would take something that he had not heard at that point for him to change his mind at that point. What was your reaction when you heard David Poyle talk about, in his heart, not really all that open to being a seller yesterday.
Well, one thing I thought of was what Porth just brought up, which is 2018, because that was the big story after they lost to Winnipeg, was those guys made an appeal. And I don't know that Poile at the time was going to just totally break things up, but maybe he was going to do a little bit more than he did, and they, you know, that team talked him into it, the idea of, like, give us another chance, and, you know, and then it's kept trending the wrong way from there. But I thought of that. I mean, look, when he said in my heart, I mean, that's kind of what yesterday was to me, was it was someone going with his heart. I mean, that's the headline on Vingan's column. I thought Vingan wrote a good column in The Athletic. It was critical of Poile. And basically, I don't have the headline in front of me, but went with his heart over his head. And I just think that, you know, this is a move, yes, to give this team a chance, which I think is fair. This team has earned a chance, but I've contended all along, and I'll continue to say, like, there could have been some kind of recouping of assets and while still not totally pulling the rug out from under this team. I believe that. Now, the information we don't have is exactly what people were saying on the other end of the phone. Like, if people were saying, you know, hey, a first, a second, whatever for Granlund, and he didn't do it, I think that's just a massive mistake on his part. But I don't know that. I don't have that information.
Yeah, we don't have that information. We're probably not going to get that information, but I would agree. Like, if a first-round pick is on the table for Granlund, I think you've got to make that move. And obviously, they did not. Whatever the compensation was, it was not good enough for David Poile to consider making a move at that
point.
But
it just sounded yesterday like the compensation was almost irrelevant.
It did.
It was almost secondary to this run this team is on, which, again, has been a tremendous story. Like, I feel like, again, some people are looking at this like, if you think he should have sold, you're against this team. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. It's just that, and there's more to the Poile presser yesterday that we'll get into, but, like, if you don't believe this team can really make a run, then I think you need to, I mean, right now the bar is higher. Yeah. The bar is higher than get into the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not at the end of a rebuild. We're not here, like, after going through the tough times and now they're finally getting in the playoffs. Like, right now, like, you've got to try to figure out a way to get back to where the bar has been set.
Exactly.
And so if you don't think this team really has a chance to do that, then I think you are doing the big picture a disservice by not trying to recoup assets.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty text in. With us being on the line of contention and full of injuries, why do you think Poile didn't add a player that can contribute?
So we want to buy more.
A bigger buyer.
Come on. If you're going to buy, be a buyer. Well, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, what? that's not the way to go. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, that's another thing, too. Like, if guys do get back healthy, which maybe next week this starts happening, you have enough depth in your – other than, like, you may, to get where you want to get, have to have a massive change or a massive add, but that's not going to happen right now. Like, you have enough – if you have Forsberg and Tolvin and all those guys back, you've got a lineup.
Yeah.
The way they're playing, you got a lineup that can do damage.
I mean, with how many guys are out right now? You're going to have a lot of additions coming back.
Right.
It'll be like a whole new trade deadline all over again.
So what deal would you have made maybe in the short term? Sure. Like, in the short term, you can plug someone in and say, great, because, you know, we got a lot of really young guys in there. But, like, what deal would you have made that would have made a big – other than a massive deal? Then what are you giving up? So, what,
yeah.
I mean, it's – yeah. It's a, to me, it's a, just a, it's a non-starter, but –
we'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back. David Poile made some very interesting comments yesterday about Mattias Ekholm as well when it comes to the trade deadline and maybe his future here in Nashville. We'll do that coming up next. First, Joe, I do have to read a tweet to you. This coming from @RedWings28 on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
Do one of you hates wrestling? I bet you won't get in their faces and say that. You know what's sadder than your views on wrestling? How lame a sports radio host both of you are. Add Jared Stillman, and you have the Three Stooge losers of 102.5 The Game. You have really upset someone with your views on wrestling.
Oh, gosh. And this Douglas Campbell, we've battled before because I, like, made fun of the Red Wings, and he's like, how dare you? I'm like, dude, it's not 1997 anymore. Like, let it go, Doug.
Just saying.
The Three Stooges losers.
You, me, and Stillman, the Three Stooge losers.
Stevie Y ain't walking through that door as a player.
Actually, he is.
Yeah,
he did walk through that
door.
I said that. I was like, he's actually their GM.
By the way, I like the deal he made, too.
Yeah, pretty nice.
That's a pretty sweet deal, Stevie Y. Come on, Doug. You and I together. Doug, we'll relive the glory days.
We're sorry to have upset you this early in the morning. When we come back, we'll continue the double discussion.
Suplex you, Doug.
On the Nashville Predators. It's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Tuesday morning, streaming live on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Periscope as well. Joe Rex Road looking great today. Had some comments yesterday about your Virginia Tech hoodie. No Virginia Tech hoodie today.
No.
Wow.
That's my fault.
I'm sorry.
I've got Rex Road doing too many things at one time.
Got my Michigan State JRN,
yeah.
Journalism Program t-shirt.
That's right. Represent.
I feel like when I look at the live stream, I feel like the camera's adding a couple pounds. That's just my opinion.
I think it does do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've been told my whole life.
Oh, by the way, since we're talking about the live stream, we had a soccer banquet last night. I'm sure I'll get this out at some point.
Okay, good.
Soccer banquet last night for Brennan, and so one of the parents was awesome, and he was like, "Hey, love the show, and also it's been really cool to that you guys have done the streaming."
Yeah.
So, and I'm just completely botching this thing. This is the problem, is that I don't know how to work Twitter.
But you're on Twitter 24/7.
I know. Exactly. Well, actually, the biggest problem for me right now is the Wi-Fi. But anyway, shout out to DJ Desai, and real nice parent who is a big fan of the show, and was very. He said, "Look, keep going after Stillman, you guys."
There you go.
So
he will.
He likes that. Yeah. But apparently, though. Now, we're going after Stillman, and we're going to have to do like the stuff because we're part of the Three Stooges with Stillman. Stooges of radios.
Didn't know I was in that club, but I appreciate it. It's good to be here, and glad that people
are
enjoying the live streaming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can check us out every single day on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Periscope as well. So make sure you continue to utilize that tool. Joe Rex wrote some very interesting comments yesterday made by David Poile regarding Matthias Ekholm. Now, as we know, Ekholm was a very popular figure this time about a month ago when it comes to the trade discussions, not only with the Predators, but around the league. Like, he was the number one target on the big board at The Athletic. Matthias Ekholm, thought by many, maybe could bring a gigantic return for the Nashville Predators if that's the route they decided to go. The trade deadline has come and gone. Matthias Ekholm is still here, and Poile was asked yesterday about Ekholm and about the trade deadline and the future that it could be with Ekholm here in Nashville. Here's what David Poile had to say regarding his defenseman yesterday at his press conference.
In terms of expansion, I think we have that covered. I mean, I'm not losing Matthias Ekholm in expansion, if that's what you're asking me. I've got that covered. I mean, again, Matthias has been a good player for us. And again, his name got thrown out there a lot in trade baits and different things. But I mean, my next conversation with Matthias will be after this year about how he thinks he fits into the future of this hockey club and whether he would like to be here longer, not whether we want to trade him.
So that was David Poile yesterday at his press conference. I thought, Joe, obviously some pretty strong words there, making really no secrets about what his plans are for Matthias Ekholm. And to me, and tell me whether or not you agree, like, it read to me as a guy that has seen the rumors about Matthias Ekholm and has listened to it and has watched all the chatter out there. And it sounded to me like a guy that really never had all that much interest in trading Matthias Ekholm yesterday, saying, In terms of expansion, we've got that covered. I'm not losing Matthias Ekholm in expansion, if that's what you're asking. And the next conversation I have with Ekholm will be about how he thinks into the future of this hockey club and whether he'd like to be here longer, not whether or not we want to trade him. Some pretty strong, pointed words about the future of Matthias Ekholm yesterday from David Poile.
Hands off my Matthias.
That's right.
That's what I heard there. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I hear what you're saying, but he's still, like, go back 15 games. Are you sure that 15? I mean, it sounds like this 15 games has just been a dramatic change of mindset.
Yeah.
It certainly has been I mean, it's two totally different seasons for this team, right? And I agree with what he said somewhere in there that, like, this is – what he said, one of the most confusing years for a GM, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it was. I mean, are you sure that 15 games ago there wasn't a little more of, might have to do it?
I would assume if the other teams around the league were doing what I think they were doing, there was probably a lot of chatter about Matthias Ekholm, not just in the media. Like, I'm sure teams were making some calls about Matthias Ekholm, trying to gauge what it would take in terms of an offer to get him in the fold. So now, how seriously Poile ever considered doing it, I don't know. I mean, it sounds to me like it wasn't much of a consideration. But to your point, there was a very different narrative and a very different story about this team 15 games ago before this streak began. So maybe there was more consideration than Poile was kind of leading on to there. But that was pretty strong. Like, in terms of press conference comments from your general manager about a specific player, that was about as strong as I can remember Poile being about anybody. Like, he was pretty clear. He wants Matthias Ekholm to be a part of this future.
So how does that make you feel about what their expansion draft strategy will be?
It's interesting because, I mean, obviously, Yossi is going to be protected. David Poile said yesterday, quote, "I'm not losing Matthias Ekholm in expansion," if that's what you're asking. There's no wiggle room there. I'm not losing Matthias Ekholm in expansion. You would assume Ryan Ellis is going to be protected as well. So are you leaving Dante Fabbro exposed, or are you going with four defensemen you're protecting again? It's interesting. I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess even before yesterday, I guess that's the kind of the question, right? Is it Fabbro or more forwards?
Yeah.
Remind me again, if they go 4-4-1, that means obviously Forsberg.
Yeah.
Probably obviously Arvidsson, I think.
Probably. What do you do with
Yarncroak?
Yeah. Are you leaving both Johansson and Duchesne unprotected? Both of them.
And that's just an dare question. Seattle to take one.
That's interesting.
Well, I mean, isn't it conventional wisdom that they would have to sweeten it for them to take one?
I think so.
Why would you then worry about it?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I think it's likely they leave both of them unprotected. I mean, you can't take both if you're Seattle. You got to pick one. So, I mean.
Kraken. Have at it, yeah. Kraken.
But who else would be unprotected that Seattle might want more?
Sissons? Would they protect?
Maybe. Who? I mean, it depends on who, if they decided to protect him. But
would he not be the fourth protected?
He could be.
Who else would be a candidate?
Is Tolvanen exempt?
Tolvanen is exempt.
Okay.
That's a big key. Yeah, so Forsberg, Arvidsson.
Your boy.
Luke Kunin.
You did just trade for Luke Kunin.
Forsberg, Arvidsson, Yarncroak, and then either Kunin or Sissons. But if you leave the centers unprotected, don't you think that they would take one of those guys?
I don't know, man. It depends on how badly they need to get to the floor, I guess. But if it's not necessary to take one of those two guys to get to the floor, if I'm Seattle, like, why would you take on one of those contracts right now? There's still a lot of term left on those deals. A lot.
If you leave those guys unprotected and then they don't get taken, how does that change the dynamic? Does it? I guess it's
they've got
business in the NHL.
They've
got
to know right now. Like, if you're Matt Duchesne, you've got to know what the situation is. It's no secret. You've come in, the production's not been where they've needed it to be. I mean, last year and a half, as good as I think Ryan Johansson has been at times for the Predators, and I think he's been very good, the production is not where they've needed it to be. Now, he's played better as of late, and he's a shootout wizard, apparently. But
he's vibing, too.
He's vibing.
Vibing with
well.
You.
Exactly. So, I mean, but still, you look at the money he's being paid and the money Duchesne's being paid, and the production's not where they need it to be right now. So this can't be a surprise to them if it happens.
Yeah. So it sounds like you think it's more likely that they're going to do that, 4-4-1.
After yesterday, yeah. I mean, I don't see them just leaving Dante Favreau exposed right now. I understand that he is kind of a lightning rod for some Predators fans.
Yeah, he got thrown in.
He did.
And he's looked like he got thrown in. But let's also remember his age, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
And he's a good cost right now.
He's a good cost. I still think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, like, I do too.
Just because he's 22 right now and he's struggled doesn't mean that's what he is moving forward. So after yesterday, I mean, unless they're planning on trading Ryan Ellis or something, like, it sounds like they could go the four defenseman route again.
And then, see, to me, here's the thing with this whole thing with the trading deadline. Like, if the Preds make the playoffs, acquit themselves well in the playoffs, and re-sign Granlund, then to me, I think yesterday is a lot more palatable.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah.
That last part's important, though.
That last part is very important.
And I think that last part has to go hand-in-hand with one of those guys moving, right?
You would think so. Especially when you consider, like, if you hear Poile talk, you're going to try to sign Ekholm to a contract. You would assume you're going to try to sign Forsberg to an extension as well. Like, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to this discussion. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. I wanted to follow up what you were talking about regarding Favreau. Which of the three young defensemen, Favreau, Carrier, or Davies, do you think is the most expendable? Because I think that if you look at those three, and then Ekholm, Yossi, and Ellis, I mean, they're rock solid defensively, and obviously we'll probably have to put one of those up. Which one would you say is most expendable?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. I mean, I know the popular answer is going to be that you're really excited about Carrier and Davies moving forward, and you should be. I still think Fabro's got by far the most upside of those three guys. Like, to me, Favreau is not expendable when it comes to the discussion with those other two. Not yet. I mean,
you think Favreau has by far more upside than Carrier?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I like Carrier.
He's been good. Carrier is
it's not a very different
a long-term
path.
Top four defense.
It's a very different path.
Yeah.
For those two guys. But
I mean, you're talking about Favreau, a guy that's never spent any time in the minors, and Carrier, a guy that's spent maybe too much time in the minors at this point. And maybe he's been ready now for a little while and just hasn't gotten his chance.
So, yeah. So what you're saying is ceiling higher for Favreau.
Oh, yeah.
Still much farther from his ceiling than Carrier is.
Agree.
I like Carrier a lot. I think he's been one of the guys this year who – it's just been it's another one of those guys who you've heard about for years, and it's like, okay, now you're starting to see it, which is good.
Yeah, it is good. And another potential good sign, I guess, if you're a Predators fan, is the way David Poile feels about Mikael Granlund. He's still here, still a part of the team. What does that mean for his future in a Nashville Predators uniform? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on the Nashville Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, let's go to the text line. Got a texter that says, why does Ellis require protection with his injury history plus the length of his contract? Why not give in to the youth movement on defense as well? That sounds great to me. If you've got Ryan Ellis under contract and you let him walk for nothing in an expansion draft, that is very bad asset management.
Yeah, you could get a lot for him.
Yes.
His deal isn't crazy. I mean, it's a long deal, but it's not an insane number. Also, again, if you did that, then obviously that means you're not unloading one of your centers.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I think that's an easy choice if you're talking about trying to change things up down the middle, although it's still hilarious to talk about that after years and years of getting to guys that you wanted to get down the middle. But regardless, if that's how you – I mean, to me, I don't think that that's the way to go.
If you would have told a Predators fan in 2014 that over the next 10 years they would have Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, and Kyle Turris walk through that door, and that you might be wanting to get rid of at least two of the three of them at one point – they'd be like, you're crazy. No way.
you'd be paying $2 million a year just to not have Kyle Turris play for you. Right. By the way, who's not in the league anymore, by the way. I mean, I'll say this, and this is, and that's a big part of the story too, right? This whole story is Turris.
Yep.
But talk about someone the entire league was wrong about like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It was a quick fall.
You know what would be interesting to go back and listen to is Jeremy Roenick's comments in 2019 with him saying that the NHL is passing him by, that he's no longer an NHL player. And all of us were like, how can you say that?
In 2019? When in 2019?
Like right around the start of the playoffs against Dallas.
Yeah.
Roenick was like, this guy is not an NHL player anymore. And he said that multiple times on these airwaves.
I think I think I remember that. I don't know that it was – I don't think there was total outrage with that. Was there? Because, I mean, I remember when they lost to Dallas –
not being an NHL player anymore.
Well, that's a little strong. But I remember, like, when they lost to Dallas, that my whole – all I wrote about that night was Turris. Like, the Turris deal has totally
sunk this team. It's an albatross, yeah.
Yeah. Albaturris. That's
there you go.
Albaturris was born that night, yes. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so now he's out of the league. How about that? So what you're saying is that Jeremy Roenick's a visionary.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler texts in, who they leave open depends on how they feel about Ferentz as well. You can leave one defenseman open and plan to plug Ferentz in at that new spot. Now, that is a good point. David Ferentz has been signed by the Predators. He's played in one game at this point, and you're talking about a guy that I think you feel really good about. David Ferentz has finished in the top 10 of the Hobey Baker Award voting in each of the last two seasons, which, if you don't know, that's the hockey equivalent of the Heisman Trophy. So he has been very good. I think he is going to be a good NHL defenseman. I still, like, when it comes to protecting four, like, if you're going the four route with your defenseman, those are going to be the four you protect. Now, Ferentz, you don't have to worry about in the expansion draft, but you're going to protect Fabro, Ellis, Ekholm, and Josi at that point. So is Ferentz going to be your number five defenseman as you move forward here? Like, it's interesting to see how the Predators might go about handling that.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't know yet. I mean, you know, it's so early there. It's amazing that they – obviously they've been able to do this for a long time, but even with, what, Seth Jones about to become the captain in Columbus?
That or get traded, you know, next year,
and,
yeah.
And – you know, Girard, I mean, they've had such success finding defensemen, and they continue to. So you feel good about that, however things go, that you're going to continue to fill that pipeline. But hey, I'm glad you brought up Hobey Baker real fast because I'm just all over the place. I want to congratulate UMass and Reed Lebster.
Yes, what a goal.
That's my guy. Reed Lebster is like my best friend from college. It's his nephew.
Really?
And he should have gone to Michigan State. And Michigan, he's from Grand Rapids, and they slow played him, and he went to UMass and won a natty.
Well, let me tell you
good
this.
Good job, Reed Lebster. And, yes, I know everybody talks about Red Lobster.
Reed Lebster could have a very serious endorsement opportunity coming soon.
Seriously, those cheddar biscuits, get in there, Reed.
It'd be awesome. Congratulations to UMass.
It's awesome.
Joe, speaking of the center conversation that we're having here with Duchesne and with Johansson, I mean, a lot of this is going to be how do you feel about Mikael Granlund as well? And – look, the Predators, they've held on to him. They've not made a decision to move on from Granlund at the deadline, even though I think you and I both feel like, without knowing exactly what the prices were, you probably could have gotten a decent return for Mikael Granlund at the deadline. The Predators elect to hold on to him, and I asked David Poile yesterday about Mikael Granlund and what his future could look like here with the Nashville Predators. Here's what David Poile had to say.
Well, it's not the right time or place, and I have not talked to Granny nor his agent, but again, he's been a terrific player for us, and if he's interested, we're interested. He's certainly played really, really well. There's a lot of things in the offseason, starting with expansion, that we all have to deal with. Once again, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, but I would have to say that where we stand in terms of our relationship, his performance with our team, our happiness with him, his happiness with us is, without exactly asking him, I would say it's probably at all-time high. So I would certainly love to engage in the conversation with Mikael and his agent after the year to see if that's a possibility.
So David Poile yesterday confirming that he would be very interested in seeing whether or not Mikael Granlund can be a part of the plans here for the Predators as they move forward beyond this season with a contract that expires this offseason. Now, the thing about that is, especially with an offseason like this, like you're probably not signing him before the expansion draft. Like he's probably getting to free agency just because, you know, if you sign him before, you'll have to protect him at that point. So he's probably going to get to free agency. And you know this, Joe, like once you get to free agency in pro sports, I mean, anything can happen. Maybe you feel great about it if you're the Predators, but maybe somebody else comes in with an offer that you just can't match at that point. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think everybody would agree that since John Hines has taken over, Granlund has been outstanding. He has been the player that the Predators thought they were getting from Minnesota when they traded for him to begin with. But to me, part of selling this to me, if you're David Poile and the Predators and the decision to not do anything yesterday in terms of selling off some of these assets, would be to get Granlund signed in here long-term, or at least in the foreseeable future here, and to be a part of this group moving forward beyond this year. My question is, how difficult is that going to be for the Predators to accomplish with some of the other decisions, like Duchesne, like Johansson, like the future contract for Forsberg and Ekholm? How does Granlund fit into those plans? That's going to be interesting to see how they go about navigating that.
Okay, so walk me through the timeline then. So he goes to market, and it would work out to where he could be unsigned when the expansion draft happens.
Oh, he will be. I mean, the expansion draft is, I think, sometime late June under the normal timeline. Like, I don't know if it's going to get pushed back or anything this year, but it'll be before free agency.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I got you. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I mean, you're not even – I don't even think you can get into the mix to sign him if you don't have one of those centers taken, right?
Yeah.
So you have to try to do that. So I guess you have to try to make that happen, however you make it happen. Here's a question also on that front. Could either or both of those guys do anything between now and then that change your mind on that?
Sure.
I mean, I think Johansson changed his potential fate with what he did in the bubble.
Agreed.
I have a sunshinier view of like Duchesne than some people, and I'm not arguing the production. I am arguing right now, obviously it's a long-term injury. After I thought he was playing pretty well this year, after 1 year, I mean, I think it would be kind of quick to give up on that.
Sure.
But I understand that probably one of them, if you're going to if you're going to significantly reshape this roster, you probably have to move on from one of them.
I think there's a difference between giving up on someone and making the decision to leave them exposed, too. Like, I still think, like, if they left Matt Duchesne exposed, I have a hard time imagining Seattle taking that unless they just absolutely have to get to the floor. Or unless you can get some more assets out of the Predators to sweeten the pot. Like, I don't envision Seattle just looking at Duchesne being available and saying, yep, we'll sign up for 6 more years of that or 5 more years of that at $8 million per year. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't anticipate that being the case. So I think there's a difference between giving up on somebody and leaving them exposed in the expansion draft.
Well, that's like, fine. I mean, whatever you want to call it.
Sure, but what I'm saying is, like, I think this is going to be more difficult than some fans would believe if you leave Johansson and Duchesne exposed. Like, I think there's a thought out there that if you leave one of those two exposed, that they're absolutely going to be the ones selected by Seattle, and I just don't believe that. Like, I think it's going to take some doing.
It's so hard to know because it's just so, you don't know who all else will be.
Right.
Do they get some sweet deal like Vegas got from Florida, you know, or whatever? What if we just talked about this glut of young defensemen? What if, would you send one of them?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be an interesting decision David Poile is going to have to make. We'll continue this discussion when we come back on the other side of the break. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.